The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Dear fellows, you know, oftentimes on a Wednesday night, we have a Bible study and I pass out sheets for you to be able to fill in as I teach the Bible study. Now, tonight, it's going to be similar to that. I'm not going to pass out sheets for you to follow along or anything like that. I do hope and pray tonight that you'll be able to take some notes that will be helpful on what to do when offenses come. You know, I've seen people that get offended and they will quit many things in their life. I've seen people get offended and they'll quit a ministry. They'll quit a choir. Or they'll quit maybe a singing group, or they'll quit working on a bus route, or they'll quit going soul winning, or they'll quit church because they've been offended. Or sometimes I've seen people do this. They quit their families because they get offended. All of a sudden, they begin to tighten up, and they quit their families, and they just kind of roll it in, and they don't act like they should because they have been offended. I've seen Christian businessmen that started a great venture, maybe an entrepreneurist, one of them, and they started a great venture together. Then all of a sudden, one gets offended by the other, and before you know it, you know, it just winds up a disaster. I've seen friends in church. They start off, and boy, do they start off good. I mean, they just start off good. They'll go hunting together. They'll go fishing together. They just start off good. Or maybe two ladies, you know, you go to the craft stores together or whatever, and it just seems like that relationship is rolling around, rolling on. It's just fantastic. But then all of a sudden, one of them gets offended, and the relationship almost comes to an abrupt halt. Now, how is it that we can be able to have relationships without being offended? What is it that we can do to be able to grow in our relationships with each other as church members and be able to keep growing in the Lord, serving each other, yes, I said each other, and beside each other as we do serve Christ? What is it that we can do? Well, let's look in our Bible. We're going to look at several verses tonight that mentions the word offenses, and we're going to discover some principles tonight that can help us not to be offended. Let me give you a couple of statements. Statement number one, don't be shocked when offenses come. Don't be shocked when offenses come. The Bible says in Luke chapter 17 in verse 1, as I read just a moment ago as our text verse, the Bible says, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. So he's saying, look, offenses are going to come, but woe unto him through whom they come. Look at Matthew chapter 18 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 7. Here's what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 7. The Bible says, woe unto the world because of offenses. Now listen to it. For it must needs be that offenses come. So first off, we see this. It doesn't say that offenses might come. It doesn't say that if offenses do come. No, the Bible is very clear, offenses are going to come. Now, he says this, he says in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 7, he says, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to him that, watch it now, or woe to that man by whom the offenses cometh. All right, so God says those offenses are going to come. Now, don't be shocked when those offenses come. Don't be shocked when somebody mistreats you. Don't be shocked all of a sudden when somebody misunderstands you. Don't be shocked when somebody misrepresents you. Don't be shocked when somebody is unkind to you. Don't be shocked when somebody lies about you. Don't be shocked when somebody gossips about you. Don't be shocked when somebody criticizes you. Don't be shocked when somebody whispers behind your back about you. Don't be shocked when somebody complains about you. Don't be shocked when somebody all of a sudden is cruel to you. Don't be shocked when somebody backstabs you. Don't be shocked when somebody finds it very intriguing, if you will, to be unfair to you. Understand that offenses are going to come. Somebody says, well, preacher, I can't believe that so-and-so said that. Well, can I tell you tonight, believe it. Preacher, I just can't believe that so-and-so would do that. Can I tell you tonight, believe it. Somebody says, well, I tell you what, preacher, it sure did shock me the way that so-and-so did do something like that. Well, can I tell you, don't be shocked by it, because you're dealing with humanity that is not perfect. You're dealing with a bunch of sinners that are saved by grace. They've not yet perfected themselves to that which is the degree of expectancy. And can I tell you, offenses are going to come. Now, we have to be careful that we are not the one that do the offending. You know, somebody says, well, you know, I can't believe that so-and-so said it. Well, it's bad they said it, but you ought not to say it also. You be careful not to be that one. The Bible says over in the book of Romans chapter 2 and in verse 1, the Bible says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges. It says, wherein thou judgest one another, thou commendest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. So the Bible says the reason that some people are so harsh towards other people is because they have felt somewhere in their life that somebody was harsh towards them. And so since they have felt that somebody is harsh towards them, what they do is they lash out towards somebody else. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, beloved, think, it says, it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. It says, as though some strange thing happened to you. Hey, don't consider it strange. When all of a sudden you're going through a fiery trial and you look at it and you say, you know, this is strange. I can't believe that I can't believe that I am going through this fiery trial. No, God says, look, when you go through a fiery trial, don't think that's strange. You're going to go through some fiery trials. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13, the Bible says what to do when you go through a fiery trial. He says, but rejoice. So all of a sudden, when you go through a fiery trial, here's what God says. God says, you smile during that time. You rejoice during that time. You rejoice that God has counted you worthy to be able to go through such a trial, such persecution, such fire in your life. The Bible says, listen to it, insomuch that ye are partakers, it says, of Christ's suffering. Now, the Bible says we're supposed to count it all joy when we go through such trials. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible says, if ye be reproached, it says, for my name's sake, happy are ye. So all of a sudden, when you go through a fiery trial, when you go through that which is somebody that is trying to offend you, what do? You count yourself blessed. You look at it and say, boy, thank God that God has chosen me. By the way, are you that way all of a sudden when you break your arm and you say, well, thank the Lord, I've got a broken arm. How wonderful this is. You know, man, I stubbed my toe. Ooh, it hurts so bad. Ooh, but praise the Lord. I have the privilege of having a stubbed toe. By the way, you will learn things through the times of difficulty in your life and walking through the valleys that you can never learn on side of the mountain. You will learn things that when you have difficulties in your life and challenges in your life, when you become somebody that has to be bedridden for a while, or all of a sudden now you have some disease that's attacking your body and you cannot rise up and be able to do the things that you would rather do, can I tell you, that takes your faith in a different area than you've ever been able to experience before. I'm saying this, statement number one, don't be shocked when offenses come. Statement number two, don't be the offender. Don't be the offender. Look at it again. We're in Luke chapter 17 and verse 1. Here's what it says. The Bible says, and he said unto his disciples, he says, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. Look at verse 2. The Bible says it is better for him that a millstone were hanged, it says, about his neck, and he was cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Now, who are these little ones? The little ones that are little in faith. The little ones that might be little in stature, okay? Those, if you would please, that's easily hurt. Those that are immature. Those that are easily emotionally damaged. He said, you be careful not to offend one of those little ones. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 7, the Bible says, woe, it says, unto the world because of offenses. I read this a moment ago, but I want to draw attention to the last couple words here. It says, but woe, it says, to that man, it says, by whom the offenses cometh. So I submit to you tonight, it is better to be gossiped about than to be the gossiper. I submit to you tonight, it's better to be whispered about than to be the whisperer. I'm telling you tonight, it is better to be lied about than it is to be the liar. It is better tonight for somebody to Facebook about you than for you to Facebook about somebody else. It is better tonight for somebody to use the social media to try and damage your very character tonight than for you to use the social media to try and get back at them who tried to use the social media to damage your character. It's better tonight that somebody complains about you than you be the one that's complaining about them. It's better tonight that you be the one that somebody is criticizing than you to rise up and start criticizing them. It's better tonight that you be the offendee than you to be the offender. It's better tonight that you speak well of men, that you speak well of people, and you let God be God and let God be the one that brings judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13, the Bible says, wherefore, Paul is speaking this way, he said, wherefore, if meat, it says, make my brother to offend, he says, I will eat no more flesh while the world standeth, lest it make my brother to offend. He said, look, he said, if the eating of this meat, he said, is going to cause my brother to stumble, then I, or cause my brother to become personally offended, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay away from the eating of that meat. By the way, it's better to try to be a better Christian than to try to be the worst Christian. It's better to go to bed at night with a clear conscience than to go to bed at night with a conscience that's eating you up. It is better to be able to be free in your conscience about people than it is tonight to go to bed and just have somebody that is just, and by the way, listen to me. If somebody offends you, and sometimes that person doesn't even know they offended you. Amen. So, you know, after church, what are they going to do? They're going to go eat ice cream. After church, they're going to go drink a tall cup of coffee. After church, they're going to go tell jokes that nobody laughs at. You know, I mean, they're, you know, and so can I tell you tonight, when you are offended, it's like a cancer inside of you. It eats at you. Say, well, I tell you what, I'm offended by that person. But you understand tonight that that person might not even know that they've offended you. So tonight, you know, as you harbor that offense inside of your heart, dear friend, can I tell you, it's not hurting anybody else but you. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 12 and in verse 18, the Bible says, if it be possible. Now, by the way, listen to your Bible. It says, if it be possible, it says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably, it says, with all men. So God says, if it is possible. Now, by the way, that means you're supposed to try. Because you're not going to know if it's possible if you don't try. So if it is possible, here's what God says. If it is possible, here's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to live peaceably with all men. You're supposed to get along with all men. If it is possible, he says, as much as lieth in you. That means that you give full assertiveness. That gives full energy. That means that you give it everything that you've got to make peace with your brother or peace with your sister. You know, you be that person that tries the hardest. Statement number one, don't be shocked when offenses come. Statement number two, don't be the offender. Statement number three, don't be easily offended. Don't, stay with me now, listen to me. Don't take life so seriously. Don't take life so seriously. Life is too short for you to walk around in misery. It's too short. It's too short for you not to enjoy it. It's too short for you not to serve Christ and enjoy serving Jesus Christ. Now, I'm saying statement number three, don't be easily offended. Now write it down. You know, if I am willing to be offended, I will be offended. If I am willing to be offended, I will be offended. Now, by the way, listen to me. Some people walk around looking for things that will offend them. You know, I'm offended by that, and I'm offended by that, and I'm offended by that. I'd hate to be the person that's always walking around looking for things that's going to offend me. Don't do that. Don't be somebody that walks around and says, well, you know, that offends me, and that offends me. Look, can I tell you something tonight? And I'll love you in the name of the Lord, but grow up. Amen. Don't look for things that's going to offend you. Don't look for it. Well, you know, it offended me that she wore those color shoes. Well, dear sister, if it offended you that bad, get yourself your checkbook and go buy her another pair. You know, but be willing to help out. Don't be, well, you know, you ever seen somebody like this? Well, you know, I know that those guys over there, you know, I know those guys over there, they were talking about me. Well, you think mighty high of yourself, don't you? First off, they probably didn't even know that you were in the room. Second off, they probably don't even know you exist. You know, if you're not careful, you'll walk around, well, you know, so-and-so doesn't like me because they didn't smile at me. Oh, quit. They might have had a tummy ache. Come on. They might have just had a fight with their husband or with their wife. They might have just got ran off of the road by some of these safe Texas drivers. The guys that are hollering the worst is the guys that drive the worst. Amen. Now, can I say this tonight? I'm saying, look, you be careful. Don't walk around saying, well, you know, it's obvious that they're talking about me. Or, you know, I'm looking for that thing to be offended. And let me tell you, how is it that you don't have to be offended? Live in God's Word. Think about this. Statement number one. Live in God's Word. Live in God's Word. The Bible says over in Psalm 119 and verse 165, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So live in God's Word. You know, if somebody comes up to me and they say, well, you know, this really offended me, I'll say, you've not read your Bible lately, have you? But now, wait a minute, more than that, it doesn't say to read your Bible, does it? It says to live in God's Word. You take a bath in God's Word. In other words, you surround your very being with God's Word. When you do that, it will help you not to be easily offended. Statement number two, live with short accounts. Live with short accounts. You know, make sure that you make relationships right immediately after they have been wronged. Immediately. Go to somebody immediately. Now, I'm going to tell you, and it's true, it's going to be like a cancer. It's going to eat at you and eat at you and eat at you and eat at you until you are no more if you just let that relationship continue to go on as it presently is. So what do? You live in God's Word. What do? You live with short accounts. What do? You be that person, if you will, please, that you live with God's love. You live with God's love. Oh, preacher, but you understand, I can't love them, but you can let God love them through you. You can do that. Well, I don't like their personality. You can still let God love them through you. Well, I just don't believe that they deserve to be forgiven. You can still be able to let God love them through you. Amen. But Judah, I don't believe that they deserve that blessing. You can still let God love them through you. You know, think about this, if you will. Think about this person that is the offender. Luke chapter 17 and verse 3, the Bible says, take heed to thyself. It says, if thy brother trespass against thee, says, rebuke him. And if you repent, he says, forgive him. So let's say that Brother Butler, come here, Brother Butler. Let's say Brother Butler offends me. I mean, just come up, be nasty towards me and just offend me.
You have an ugly tie. Not really.
All right, and I say, well, you know, I want you to know I forgive you. Now, in my heart, before I can forgive him here, I've got to forgive him here. Yes. Don't you know, the thing, go, hit me just a little bit, not, yeah, okay, good. All right, so if he hits me, my natural response is I want to hit him back. That is not a godly response.
Man.
The godly response is if he hits me, then I know that probably he's wrestling with something in his heart. And I'm going to try and help him. And then if I can't help him, I'll deck him. No, I'm kidding. All right. Now, I'm saying this. Thanks, Brother Butler. I'm saying this. Live in God's Word, okay? Then I'm saying this. I'm saying live with short accounts. The Bible says in Luke chapter 17 and verse 4, the Bible says, and if he trespass against thee seven times a day, seven times in a day, return again to thee and say, repent. He says, thou shalt forgive him. So here's a perpetual offender. Man, they have you ever had one in your life? I've had many in my life, a perpetual offender. You know, they come up and they do something and it's offensive, and then they think about it, they come back and say, yeah, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have did that. And then they go about their business and they do the very same thing 3 days later. And then they come back and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have did that. And then you forgive them, and then 4 or 5 days you come back and do the very same thing again, and you say, I forgive you. Now, God says you're supposed to do that over and over and over again. You say, that preacher, I don't need to do that. I'm not saying you need to do that. I'm saying they need for you to do that. See, you're not supposed to look at what you need. You're supposed to look at what they need in their life. They need somebody that's going to operate by biblical principles. Whether you agree with that or not, you are still supposed to be Christ-like. You're still supposed to operate in the realm of being that Christ-like individual. Listen to it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the Bible says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So how is it that I can forgive somebody? I forgive somebody because God has forgiven me through Jesus Christ. If I got what I deserve tonight, I'd be burning in hell. If you got what you deserve tonight, dear friend, you would be burning in hell. Now, because of that, everything that you get that's a blessing above hell tonight is a blessing to you. Amen. All right, so understand, we live in God's love. You know, it explains it, if you will, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. The Bible says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, hopeth all things, it says believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now, the opposite of that is this. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12. The Bible says, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covers, it says, covereth all sins. So when somebody has hatred, here's what they're doing. They're just trying to stir it up all over again, stir it up all over again, stir it up all over again. But when somebody truly loves, here's what they do. That love covers all of that. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible says, but above all things, it says, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. All right? So you love somebody. You overlook some of their faults, if you will. You overlook some of their struggles. You know, we have all sorts of people who get saved that come to our church. I mean, a whole bunch of them got saved this morning, and they're all different. They all come from different backgrounds. You know, some of them's got tattoos from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Some of them, of course, are having drug problems, drug-related problems. You know, some of them are highly educated, and some of them have no education whatsoever. Some of them have banks full of money, and some of them only pray that they can find a bank. Now, I'm saying that, look, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to love every single one of them and help them. And the only way I can do that is allow God to be able to love them through me. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to live, statement number next, live avoiding known conflict. You know, my wife, I love my dear wife. We just did a couples retreat just a couple weeks ago for some churches that came together. And we traveled over and we both spoke, and we've been married 34 years, and can I tell you, I love my dear wife, okay? But can I tell you, I know that she's got some red buttons I'm not going to press. Because if I press them, I'm going to get the natural reaction on what's on the other side of that red button. Now, I know that. So what do? I don't do that because I know those things bother her. Oh, you say, but preacher, you shouldn't be that way. Oh, yes, I should. And by the way, she is that way to me too. All right? And so what is that? That is growing in that relationship. Stay away from the known conflicts, if you will. Let me hasten. I said, don't be shocked when offenses come. Statement number two, don't be the offender. Statement number three, don't be easily offended. Statement number four, think about this tonight. Don't take your offenses to others. Don't take your offenses to others. There's got to become a time in your life when you get alone with God. Right. Yes, amen. Right. You know, well, so-and-so offended me. Well, what about getting with God? What about obeying the Bible and letting God work in your life? Now watch this, if we'll. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15, the Bible says, moreover, if thy brother, and stay with it now, I said, don't take your offenses to others. Here's the principle. Moreover, if thy brother shall, and listen to it now, it says, trespass against thee. It says, go, it says, and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. So what do? I go to him alone. And I say, look, you and I need to work this out. There's a vice between us. We need to work this out between us. The Bible says, and if he shall hear thee, he says, thou hast gained thy brother. All right, so stand up and offend me. All right, and so you'll be next. And so he does something to offend me. All right, then what do? I've got people up here. They're hearing this offense. He may offend me out in the hallway. We may be walking down the hallway, and he says something very offensive to me.
You mispronounced that word.
All right, so he says, I mispronounced a word. Okay, now, by the way, was that embarrassing that he told me that perhaps in front of other people? Well, sure it was. Should I be offended? No. But if it does offend me, I'm not going to right there say, well, let me tell you, your shoe's untied. And your hair's messed up. You got a sleeper in your left eye. You got wax in your right ear. You got a booger hanging down your right nostril. Okay? I don't do any of that. Here's what I do. I say, hey, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Now, if that begins to eat at me on the inside, I'm not going to get in front of his friends that he felt like he was empowered by being able to say something to make me feel bad. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try to go up a higher level. I'm going to live on a higher ground. And I'm going to get with him personally. And I'm going to say, let's you and I talk. Okay? And we're going to try to work a situation out. Thank you. Be seated. Watch this. I'm saying this. In verse 17, the Bible says, in Matthew chapter 18, the Bible says, and if he neglect, it says, to hear them. He says, then what takes place? Well, you tell the church. Well, that doesn't take place before verse 16, where the Bible says you're supposed to take a brother with you so that at the mouth of two, the witness or the truth shall be established. Okay, so you take somebody else with you, and if that doesn't work, then you take it to the church, all right? I'm saying this, where there is no wood, the Bible says the fire goeth out. So in the book of Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20, don't keep adding wood to it. Just decide to try and, here I am, I'm done, okay? Don't be shocked when offenses come. Don't be the offender. Don't be easily offended. Don't take your offense to others, and here it is, lastly, and I'm done. Don't hold on to your offenses. Don't hold on to your offenses. You know, I see people that has grown old too fast. They have worried themselves into old age. They have worried themselves into old age. I've seen people say this to me. They said, the reason, I've seen people, it's in their 50s, and they look like they're in their 60s, 70s, or 80s, and I talk to them about their life, and here's what I find out. In many cases about their life, here's what I find out. They are prematurely aging because of the fact their whole life has been nothing but a stress road. Now, I'm saying this tonight. There's a way to not have that. There's a way that you can overcome those offenses in your life. Let me show you a principle. Here it is. If you didn't look any verse up in your Bible yet, I want you to see this verse. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 23. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. If you'll get this one principle down, this will help you more than anything else I said tonight, then we're going to pray and close it down very soon. Okay? But this one principle will help you more than any other principle that I could show you tonight when it comes to all offenses. Look at it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. The Bible says, therefore, he says, if thou bring, it says, thy gift to the altar, and it says, there remembers that thy brother have aught against thee. Okay? So there's some aught going on. Here's a man. What's he doing? He's serving God. He's keeping his principle in place. Now keep that in mind. He's keeping his principle in place. He's bringing his gift to the altar. He is serving God in church. Keep it in mind. He's serving God in church. He's keeping his principle in place. He's bringing his gift to the altar. This is a spiritual individual. This is an individual that loves God and is serving God. So here he is. He is bringing his gift to the altar. By the way, in the terms of gift, it might be that you're bringing your energy and you're serving the Lord in the bus ministry. The same principle would apply to you. It might be that you're bringing your gift, and your gift is that you're singing in the choir. The same principle applies to you. Might be that your gift is working in our college, maybe in the dormitory or something like that, and helping out the students. Okay, you're bringing your gift to the altar. That is your gift. That is your principle. That's what you're doing. That's what you're living for. You're putting God first, and you're serving God. Now, here's what it says. The Bible says, leave there, it says, thy gift before the altar. In other words, don't quit on God. Just because you have an offense with somebody else, you know, I don't know how many people say, well, I tell you what, I got offended in church, and so I'm just going to leave that church. Well, dear friend, when you go to the next church, somebody's going to offend you there too. It's not because of the person that offended you. It's the spirit in which you took the offense. Because you took the offense wrong, you can't tell me that all of a sudden by leaving the church, you're going to mature at the next church. You can't do it. The problem is not with the offender in your life. The problem is you. Because you have not learned how to take an offense. All right? So here's what happens. He is keeping his principle intact. He is bringing his gift. He's placing it at the altar. And God said this. God said, now you leave your gift at the altar. In other words, just because you have an offense with a person doesn't mean it ought to affect your service towards me, God says. So you keep your service towards me intact. Now, if you got to leave that for a second and go over and take care of a problem, then leave it, go over and take care of the problem. But God says, you leave that gift at the altar right where you brought it. You don't give up on me. You don't stop serving me. I don't know how many people I've seen out soul winning. I knock a door and they say, well, yeah, I used to go to church and I used to be faithful, but I got offended. And in my heart, I'm thinking, too bad. Man, just too bad. Because you should never live in a place of immaturity as a Christian where anybody can offend you. But what took place is they let their guard down and they were not walking with God and they were not obeying God, and somebody got to them. And they took it personal and they dropped out of church. And I'm telling you, in a growing church, dear friend, listen, you're going to get offended. But you're not supposed to get offended and take it home with you. You're supposed to make it right. You listen, he didn't say if offenses come. He says when they do come. Hey, there's going to be a day when you are going to get offended. Now, what do? You take care of the offense immediately. Immediately. Don't let it eat at you. Don't let it bother you. You know, the person that offended you probably doesn't even know they've offended you. Have I not already covered that? They don't even know that what they said or what they did offended you. All right, wait a minute. Here's what it says. It says, leave there, it says, thy gift before the altar. Go thy way. Now watch what it says. It says, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer the gift. So who is supposed to be the one that is doing the reconciling? The one that understands that there's an offense that took place. So when you find out that there's an offense, that maybe you offended someone, maybe somebody offended you, but you know there was an offense taking place, what do? You go to that person, say, look, there was an offense taking place. It was between us. I want to make it right. Love you. If I've done something to offend you, man, please forgive me. Or you talk about the offense, make it right, then get back serving God. Don't let anything stop you in your service for the King. Don't let anything stop you in your service for Jesus Christ. Notice this, and I'll close. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He says, look, these things that are coming your way, put it away. Now, here's what's going to happen if you don't. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail, it says, in the grace of God, lest the root of bitterness springing up trouble you, whereby many be defiled. If you don't take care of that offense, here's what happens. I've seen it. All of a sudden starts to grow. Then it comes out. Nobody sees it. Nobody understands it because it's here. But it's not going to stay there. Eventually, it's coming out of there. And eventually you start talking about other people in a bad way and in a demeaning fashion. You start saying, so-and-so, they're not all as spiritual as you think they are, and you just start demeaning and pulling down. And now here's what takes place, and it says many are defiled. Many are defiled. Why? Because that bitterness is springing up. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26 says, be not angry. It says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Then it says in verse 27, neither give place to the devil. You can give place to the devil whereby it ruins a relationship. It ruins a relationship. Okay, watch this. Come on. Your turn. Say anything. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
You should be drinking coffee. You should be drinking Dr. Pepper.
Thanks for that insight. Say something else.
I don't like your tie either.
Thanks for that insight. You two guys are going to buy me a tie. Say something else.
I don't like your suit either.
Thank you. Say something else.
Your shoes are terrible.
Thank you. Okay. Now, I can let that stay with me. I can let that get under my skin. But I realize there's something inside of him that's causing him to be super critical of me. Now, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try and win him over. You don't like my tie? Hey, I got an idea. There's a tie place down the road. I've got a little extra money. How about if we do this? How about if I take you out? I'd love to treat you to a meal. Can you help me pick out a tie that looks better with this? Can you do that?
Sure.
All right, what am I doing? I'm edging my way in. See, I'm going to try and win him over. He says, you know, hey, I don't like your suit. Hey, Lord, give me some extra money. Found out. Where do you get suits at?
Hagar.
You do? I heard of that place. Yeah. Tell you what, can we go out there together and kind of show me around, show me what you, would you be willing to do?
Sure.
Now, what am I going to do? I'm edging my way because what I'm going to do, he is not going to offend me, number one. Number two, he's not going to push me away where I can't reach him. He's now become my challenge. And I'm going to take him as my challenge. Now, see, here's what we do in husband and wife situations. Thank you, be seated. All of a sudden, your wife says something nasty to you. Your wife says something bad about you. And you get offended, and you all of a sudden, you begin to bristle. I'm not talking to you no more. And before you know it, you guys are going this way. And if you start going this way, and you do not get over it, and you do not build a communicational relationship, before you know it, your marriage is growing further and further and further and further apart. Indicators. You reach over to hold your wife's hand. She pulls it away. Something's wrong. You reach over to hold your husband's hand. He pulls it away. Something's wrong. Indicator, you try and have a good conversation with your son or with your daughter, and they don't want to talk to you. Something's wrong. Now, I'm saying you cannot be this person, if you will, that does not try to work things out. Now, don't you be offended. Don't you take any offense. Well, you know, I don't like the way you comb your hair. I'll try and do a better job next time. Hey, thank you for that insight. Amen. Well, you know, it really bothers me because, you know, your right foot is bigger than your left foot. I can't do anything about that, but if you would, just pray that my left foot grows. Don't take offense. Now, by the way, here's what you do. You become offended because somebody says something about your wife, about your husband, about your kids, and you want to deck them. You want to say, hey, look, you're not going to talk about my wife like that. Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you say, hey, if you would pray for us, that'd be great. Man, I appreciate that. Yeah. Oh, you say, preacher, you're asking us to be Christ-like. Hey, I know it's hard. You know, but what I'm saying tonight is this. I'm saying don't be that person that is the offender. Don't be that person that becomes offended. Take care of your offenses quickly, shortly. Don't let them build. Talk about things. You know, all of a sudden you see that your wife is cold towards you or your husband is cold towards you. Talk about some things. Find out what is going on. Your children get cold towards you. Talk about things. Try to work on things. Build that relationship the way it should be. And go a little bit, if you would please, deeper when you see somebody is hurting. But at the very same time, you be that person that doesn't take the offense. You be that person. Come on. You know how many times I do things and they just don't turn out the way that quite I want them to turn out? You know, I was preaching in a meeting not too long ago, and I asked the person, I said, "When am I speaking?" They said, "I don't know." Asked another person, "When am I speaking?" "I don't know." Asked another person, "Am I speaking?" And they said, "Well, yeah." And then, you know, I was able to find out when I was speaking and stuff like that. All right, now, wait a minute, watch this. But I didn't get overheated about anything. I mean, I knew I was supposed to speak. I just had to find out when. Don't be offended about stuff that comes down. Come on. You're sitting in Dallas traffic, and all of a sudden, the guy in front of you slows down to almost an abrupt halt. You can't get around him because traffic has got you closed in. And man, you're moving at grandpa speed. You know, don't get offended by that. Don't get upset by that. Just, hey, thank God you got time to talk to him more. Probably some things you should have been praying about, hadn't prayed about in a long time. Good time to make it up. I'm saying this, be careful about your offenses. Father, bless, we do pray today.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.